This is the first meeting of 2020 for the National Finance Committee of Pacifica. It's January 14th, and we have a, Mr. Secretary, could you take the roll?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams. Nick Arena.
Here.
Fred Blair.
Here.
Chris Corey?
Here.
Bill Crozier?
Here.
Lyndon Foley?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah? Ms. Sackerton? Anita Sims?
Here.
Nancy Sorden? Not sure. I called Sharon Adams. Did she reply?
She did not. And Sharon, that she'd be running a few minutes late tonight.
Okay. So we have seven. That's the quorum.
Okay. Okay. So let's see. The next item up would be the agenda approval.
Yes.
I sent out an agenda about 2 hours ago. I'm presuming everybody's received it. But if you'd like, I will read it. So the roll call being given, the next item up is agenda approval, followed by minutes approval for November 6th. Then a brief discussion on the status of the Yahoo backup storage situation. A discussion that would be 10 minutes. Central Services formulas discussion and possible motion. I actually would like to change the wording of that item. We're not going to reach a motion tonight. We just need to discuss our way through it because I'm sure that it'll be, we're going to need to take input from the stations and get information out of NEDA on the actual needs of the Pacifica National Office before we can come up with a reasonable formula, I think. So we can delete and possible motion from that item. Let's see. And then we have Anita Sims on the line tonight. So this will be her introductory meeting. And if she has any reports to submit, I didn't request any, but if she'd like to report the current state of affairs as she sees it right now, that would be welcome. And we can just do a little Q&A with her and just see how far along she is. Next up would be a discussion of the P&Ls, which were distributed last time. This is a little bit of a continuation. I've been digging further and further into this, and I think I know where the problems are at this point. So I sent an email out on that, just kind of describing where I'm at with it. And but we should definitely talk about it to the general public since we're live here. And then the ninth item would be to set a time for the next meeting. We have a regular meeting coming up in 2 weeks, so I'm assuming that's when it'll be. And then we have a little bit of time left over for new business. Adjourning at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. I don't think I mentioned our starting time is 8:30 Eastern time. That was one. Are there any additions or changes other than the one that I mentioned for item 6?
Bill, request information.
Go ahead, Bill.
For item number 6 on central service formulas, so we're still going to discuss that. Is that correct? Just not.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I just don't think that we're going to get to the motion because there's too much ground to cover, I think. I believe.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
Yeah, the minutes, we should just have minutes approval because, you know, it's going to be that one, but we don't need to name it in the minutes, in anything.
I'm sorry, what?
All right, instead of minutes approval and saying which set of minutes it is, we'll just have minutes approval, all right?
Okay. We can just leave the detail out. Okay, I'll do that in future.
This is James. I just joined the call.
Hey, James. Anything else? Okay. With those two small deletions, are there any objections?
Are you talking about the agenda?
The minute. The agenda.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. No, I'm sorry. No, the agenda. My apologies. I get them mixed up all the time.
I'd like to ask if I could possibly add something to the agenda.
Sure. That's where we're at.
Oh, good. Oh, okay. And you tell me when it's appropriate.
Okay. Yeah. What do you have in mind, James?
No, it's good. Well, we noticed that there was an announcement about a staff meeting at KPFA, at which you are billed as appearing as both the KPFA treasurer and the chair of the National Finance Committee. Also,
which
in the notice,
it's impossible.
It's impossible.
Yes, that's not an allowable. I can't be both of those things. Yeah, that's not correct. I'm not the chair. I'm not the treasurer of KPFA, Sharon Adams.
Oh, I apologize. Yes.
Not a problem.
But anyway, I think it was in the announcement that you might be both. I'll have to double check that. And my apologies if I'm wrong.
Okay.
So anyway, it also said that the meeting was going to be recorded to make it available to people who couldn't attend. And I'm wondering if as part of, you know, your role as the chair of the National Finance Committee meeting, you could make a copy of that recording available for the committee, if not of the entire meeting, of at least your presentation.
Sure, I can do that. I'm not exactly sure what this meeting is. I'm guessing it's the orientation meeting that's coming up in about 30 days, approximately.
I'm not clear on that.
I'll look for the. Yeah, if you could find the announcement, that would be great.
I was going to say, why don't we go on with the meeting, and at some point I'll pop in with the correct information.
Okay,
thank you.
That would be great. Thanks. No problem. All right. So is there any objection to approving the agenda with the small changes that we've suggested, that our Paul and I have suggested?
This is James again. James again. I apologize. We didn't determine whether that would be an addition to the agenda and therefore give it a place or a time, or whether or not we could just use what you said you'd be happy to do that and let it go at that.
Yeah, we could take it up in new business, James. I think it'll slide right in there, and that'll give you plenty of time to find that little detail, if you could.
That's fine. Thank you.
Sure. Again, are there any objections to the agenda as with the two small edits suggested? Okay, hearing none. Our item number four is next, which is minutes approval for 11:26. Thanks, R. Paul, for distributing that earlier today. I looked it over briefly. It looked okay to me. Are there any additions or changes that anybody would like to make to the minutes?
When were those sent? Because I didn't remember seeing them.
I got them. It must have been a few hours ago now. Our Paul's really good about sending them out earlier in the day, and I am looking for it. Draft minutes was, it was the wee hours of the morning. I didn't get them until the afternoon, but it was sent at 2:49 a.m., probably Pacific time, which would be like midnight Eastern.
Okay, I see it. Thank you.
5:49 Eastern.
Oh, 5:49. I got it backwards. Thanks, R. Paul. You got it, Bill?
Yes, thank you. I was looking for it earlier.
Okay.
This is Sharon. I'm on a call now.
All right, Sharon. So we
James.
Are as far as minutes approval. Go ahead,
this
James.
Is James again with a request for information.
Sure.
I did get the minutes. I saw them, and I was unable to open them. And I think it was because the software I was using to try to do that was for some reason malfunctioning, but I wonder if anybody else had any difficulty. Apparently, R. Paul did not.
I think Bill Crozier also was able to open them, if I remember correct. No, it wasn't Bill. It was somebody else responded to it and said that they were able to open them too. I'm trying to open them right now. It's opening for me. So,
all right, it was my software. I thought so. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
All right.
It's an RTF file, a rich text file, and it's most things will open this up. I don't know of any word processor that's usable these days that can't bring up an RTF file. So, it should open up.
Yeah, I kept getting a notice that the system was kept closing. So I think it was with the software.
Okay.
Thank you, Arpo.
Okay. Other than the glitches associated with opening the minutes, are there any addition or changes to the minutes that anyone would like to make? All right. Hearing none, the minutes for November 26, 2019 are approved. The next item up is just a brief return to our Yahoo backup storage situation. I recall this was that the files had been backed up to RPAL had a private server that they were backed up to, but they were still available. Do we have any place that we can park minutes from the meeting at this juncture, Paul? Are we still waiting for guidance from the PNB?
Well, first of all, Yahoo has extended the time when you can go grab your data. And by the way, anybody who's on Yahoo, I guess you probably need a Yahoo account, but whatever. You can individually get every bit of stuff from every Yahoo group you're on, and they've extended the deadline to get all of that stuff to January 31st. They have not for, you know, about a month now at least, allowed anything new to be put up there, and then they cut it all. They took it all down, but after the cutoff time, I applied once again for everything and got it. So what we have is the absolute everything that was ever up there we've got. In terms of putting it all somewhere, yeah, that really, I think that should be a Pacifica decision. Otherwise, we're going to have a whole lot of data from Pacifica spread in all sorts of different places, and people will forget where it is. So
and possibly non-recoverable.
To discuss this.
I agree with you. I'll bring it up, Arpal. I think that's the best move at this point is to, if we can't get some sort of a decision on it at the PMB, I'll suggest that we form a committee, an ad hoc committee, some other sort of entity to handle this, because it just doesn't make any sense to me. It's the history of Pacifica, and it deserves to be in a place where it can be accessed. And I understand there's some misgivings about doing it internally, but that's fine. But that doesn't mean we can't just not make a decision on it. Something's got to be done. So I will bring it up at the next meeting. I'm making a note of it right now. So thing that you've done, I really appreciate it. And I'll make sure that this item gets addressed. So PNB backup Yahoo. Okay, got it. All right. The next thing, is there any other, would anybody else like to, Bill, or anybody else like to make any other comments on this particular item before we move on?
Well, you know, I a number of people talked about it in the, this is Bill, I'm sorry, can I be recognized?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. A lot of people talk, and, you know, part of the issue is that there's also other files that the National Office has or had, and it's not just governance stuff. In fact, there's a lot more files probably that are not governance. And, you know, the issue is, do we have staff with time and money to implement some more comprehensive solution? So right now the answer is probably no. So my guess is that we're probably going to have to be doing some ad hoc solutions like RPAL has done for now, at least for the time being. But
yeah, I would think that I would think that at a minimum it would be good to coordinate that. You know what I mean? If we had an idea of what each individual committee has done, that would be valuable to know, because otherwise everybody's just acting for their own survival, and there's no of what has actually happened with these individual committees. So it would be good if maybe the secretary of BNB could contact the individual chairs, especially since we have new seatings coming up, and get that information so that it's all kind of tied together in a way that is possible to trace back later. So if nothing else, I'll bring that up at the next meeting. If there's no money, that's you know, I get that. I do. But that doesn't disabuse us from, having some sort of linkage or lineage to the information, a way of getting it in the future. So we'll go ahead.
The other questions related were access control. Even for public files, you don't want just anybody to be able to upload stuff, or you'll end up with a mess, including, you know, ads and spam and stuff like that. So you need to have some policy about who can upload information. And then regarding access for reading and download, some of it's confidential information, executive session minutes, for example, then, you know, you have to have more control over who has access to that also. So it's not just as simple as finding a file storage system in the cloud and putting everything there.
Right. Understood. All right. Thank you. Go ahead, Arpal.
Can I make a very fast...
Go ahead. Go ahead, Arpal.
...comment that while we're looking, we need to be aware that wherever we go, we have to be careful it isn't some serious data mining operation, where everything we put up there will be grabbed by the provider, and I'm thinking especially of Google here, which will then sell all of the information to whomever they sell to. So we should bear that in mind.
Thank you. Thank you, Arpal. Yeah, I'll make a note of that as well, data mining, in case a discussion ensues on this. Any additional comments? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to item 6. So this is the central services formulas discussion, and so I'd like to open it up by just kind of giving a little bit of a preamble here. The this item has come up a few times this year. People have been interested in it, and obviously it's been neglected for quite a long time. I can't remember the exact number of when the formulas were changed, but I believe it's been at least 5 years since they've been changed. And obviously a lot has happened in the stations during that time. So in other words, it's based on a formula that was arrived at more than five years ago, and includes data that is up to 10 years old, because it was based on a 4-year rolling average of revenues, which seems like an okay way to do it. But the formulas haven't been updated. I think that's kind of inexplicable in a way, because we've had more current revenue data since that time. But the formulas haven't been updated since then. And so everybody's been paying the same amounts for years and years and years, even though the numbers are continually drifting off of the 4-year trailing revenue numbers for each individual station. It seems like, just based on my cursory analysis, that stations seem to have a reasonably good understanding, knowledge of the incoming revenue stream for their stations. In fact, even where I'm finding discrepancies in the P&Ls, which we'll be discussing a little bit later, the revenue side is really close. Like, for example, the difference between Berthold's numbers on his QuickBooks P&L for WBAI, the difference in that revenue number and the number that's being generated by the national office / NEDA is less than 1%, or about 1%. I guess it's slightly over 1%. It's about $15,000 difference. That's negligible, in my opinion. I mean, it's worth tracking down, but it's pretty close. Some of the other categories are off, but it seems like there's wide consensus between the national office and the individual stations in terms of what their actual revenue numbers are. And that does make sense in that, you know, it's the lifeblood of the individual station. But it seems like it should be easy to keep a running rolling average for the individual stations and make annual adjustments, just like we're planning on doing with the interest rate formula. So what I'm going to suggest is that that we center around some percentage of revenue. The number that was suggested by Tamara was 14%, which is the closest number to duplicating what the current revenue stream for the national office was. 14% for each individual station of their incoming revenues would go to the national office. Whether that actually covers the needs of the national office or not is what we need to determine. In the past, it's more than covered it, and any shortfalls have been absorbable. And so that formula has seemed to work out over the years. But as some outside observers have shown, the fact that these costs are basically fixed to the individual stations has meant that as the revenues have declined and or risen in some cases, that that these percentages have just come way off the rails from how they were originally intended. So I guess what I'd like to do is just open up the discussion and see if maybe I'm missing something here in terms of just making it a flat across the board 14%, because I know that individual stations have different needs, and I'd like to hear from each individual unit about how a fixed percentage would impact their individual station. And whether, you know, they feel that they would need to deviate from that in any particular way. So it'd be good to hear that. So if we could just get each individual treasurer to pipe in, that would be good. Let's see. I guess,
Chris,
let's
before
start
you,
with the dump-
before you, this is Sharon.
Go ahead.
Before I'm just I'm unclear on what the current percentage is that the
okay.
individual stations are paying.
Okay. Well, What I'm saying is that it because it's based on a percentage of revenues that are very old at this juncture, I'll just tell you what it is, and then I'll.
Oh, so it's a dollar amount right now. It's not actually it's like a specific dollar amount that each station pays.
Correct.
Or is it a percentage?
That's exactly right. And so it's just a fixed amount right now, but it was based on basically, it was based on 15% per individual station. But BAI, because of the tower lease situation, was given a significant advantage in terms of they're basically given a subsidy to pay for the tower lease, which amounted to roughly half of that eventually. And that was to cover their high overhead for New York City. The tower lease, of course, has been eliminated at this juncture, and although it's still a pretty high fixed cost, it's nothing like it was, you know, several years ago. So that would be a possible case for mitigation, and we can talk about some of the other alternatives to just doing it across the board at a fixed percentage. In the previous formulation was 15% for every station other than WBAI, and WBAI I think was 7, and that was based on 4 years trailing revenues. So it was 4 years trailing revenues times that percentage, and then that fixed amount ended up stuck in the system for I'm not sure how long, a good long time, as far back as I can see, which is about 4 years.
Bill for the stack.
So no adjustment has been made during that time. Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you.
Yeah, back a number of years back, it was just calculated on the previous years, and it wasn't total revenue. It was listener support. So I think when they changed it to total revenue, I guess the percentage decreased. Because it used to be, I believe it was 17% of listener support went to the national office and 2.5% went to the PRA, except for KPFK, which paid zero for PRA because they're providing their space at the KPFK building. And so I assume that still would be the case. They wouldn't need to pay KPFK because they're providing the space for them. And then there were difficulties because we fell so far behind on getting income statements that we didn't really know what the revenues were or our listener support. But if what you're saying is right, if the stations know and they ought to, you know, if they're keeping track of it, then maybe it could just be based on that again. So I don't know if it's better to have it just the last year or an average of the last 4 years. So I guess we need to be thinking about that and what percentage is right. What we need to do is get enough revenue for the national office to cover all the expenses, including repaying debt. So, you know, if we don't ever work on repaying the debt, it's never going to happen. So we need to be thinking about that as well.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. Let's see. Arpal, do you, I'm sure that you have something to say about this. So would you like to go first on this as far as being a treasurer who's interested in the subject I'm sure capable of comment on it. Do you have anything to say?
Well, yeah. First of all, I'm also the treasurer who's pretty ill right now. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, no, I got something going on. I had to go get a vaccination today, and it's reacting. You know, and that's life. So basically, as I recall, BAI was at 8%, and there was that offset. And I'm trying to remember right here, and the whole formula thing was a little bit more complicated than everybody gets a pretty much flat and you know BAI and KPFA. But I think it was a bit more complicated than that. But something along those lines. I think that if it, you know, whatever formula we come up with pretty obviously needs to be based on whatever the station's revenue is. And usually we've been doing it mostly by listener support. Whatever the listener support is, you pay a chunk of that. And that worked for quite a while. And, because if you say take a percentage of that, then I think that's more realistic than coming up with a formula that will give you a dollar amount and, you know, maybe the station can't quite make that. Also, if we're going to base it on other than, you know, revenue other than just listener support, that probably needs to be looked at in detail because sometimes some revenue sources change and metamorphose over the course of even 1 year. So a station might end up doing a really successful off-air event. And then the next year they can't do that event, so they're not going to get that kind of revenue in. I think we probably will have to figure out how to do details if we do anything other than pure listener support as the metric that we essentially tax. That's what I think, anyway. Okay.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. And actually, that gets rid of the issue of like these wide variations that can take place at stations, which I'm just kind of recapitulating what you just said. I realize. Major donor funding can vary by a factor of 2, 3, 10 from year to year, and that really throws the revenue numbers off for individual stations. Also, I've noticed that it's very rare for an individual station to get grant revenue consistently, so that can vary pretty wildly from year to year, like from 0 to 200,000 kind of variation. That makes perfect sense to me. The listener support numbers are far more consistent, so that would be a more simple way of, or not simple, but a more a solid way of basing the numbers than to base them off of overall revenue. So that makes sense to me. Are there any other treasurers that would like to chime in?
Yes, Fred here from KPFK.
Go ahead, Fred.
I just want to correct one little error that Bill made. I can't remember what the percentage was when we were paying it by percentage, but what they did is KPFK has been paying the PRA separately from the national office. But what had been done is I think they knocked a half percent off of the percentage that KPFK was paying for the national office to compensate for hosting the PRA facilities at KPFK. So, but KPFK is paying $4,900 a month to PRA as part of the central services payments. So we are paying the full PRA charge. In any case, I don't remember exactly what the percentage was. I was under the impression that on central services, the gross income was being assessed, but things like bequests and outside event income was being exempted from the central services charges. And that makes a certain amount of sense since you want to encourage those types of activities. I think that we need to have more discussion on, what forms of income need to be included, and whether it should be gross income or maybe net income. I'm not sure if there's anything I missed here, but one of the things I would suggest is there needs to be one of the reasons for having this fixed amount per month assessment for central services is that it's hard for the accounting staff to calculate central services on a month-by-month basis based on income. It's easier to do at the end of the year when you have all the numbers. I'm getting some feedback here. Somebody maybe needs to mute their mic. So I'm a big advocate of a level pay plan where on a yearly basis you calculate what the central services should be per month, and then at the end of the year calculate a correction and issue a payment bill or a credit to finalize the payments for the year, so that the financial staff doesn't have to be constantly calculating month by month the central services charges. And I don't have any more to say at this point. Hello.
Thanks, Fred. Yeah, that makes good sense.
Lyndon for the staff.
Who was that? Lyndon? Go ahead, Lyndon.
Yeah.
Two things. I would probably go with a 3-year average, rolling average. And second, I was with Fred there for halfway of that conversation because I'd imagined y'all were saying you would do the calculation, with whatever the formula you use, and you would set that, and that would be the percent. Or you would set that a dollar amount. Okay, KPFT, your revenue is this. If we calculate you're going to, for the past 3 years, average was this, and we're going to make it 14% or whatever. And so we calculate what that dollar amount is. We pay that amount every month for 12 months. Yeah, we can't possibly be doing this monthly. But then we don't even really have to do a true up. We just, once we calculate those 12 months, we drop 12. You know, we added our new 12 months, and we come up with a new formula. We just keep marching down the road like that. That would be my suggestion. That's it.
Yeah, I like that very much, Lyndon. That would kind of be my preference as well, and relieves some accounting complications.
Sure.
Anybody else?
Sure. This is Dick, Arena, Chris.
Okay, Nick,
I think,
go ahead.
Bill, I don't know if someone is on the stack ahead of me.
No, nobody is.
So I'd like to support a couple things that have been said. Number one, I really think it should be based on listener support, and for stations that have accounting support from Anita, from Netta or others, that we're going to need some accounting for what is listener support, because it tends to include everything that we get, major donor, off-air fundraising, et cetera. So we'll need some good accounting for all the, what is the listener support numbers. And then secondly, I think it would be important for us as the finance committee, and I think several people have said this in direct or indirect ways, but we really have to look at what the P&O office budget is to really feel like we've got the right number for what the percentage should be. And I think having a detailed P&O income statement, and most importantly, what the details of the expenses are for the national office outside of what the interest, and then ultimately what might be principal payments and interest payments on a loan are. I think we need to have that before we can really have an accurate discussion of what the percentage should be, because it would be good to know really where the money in the national office is spent, where the money is spent by PRA, and for all of us on the finance committee to, you know, have that and some sort of agreement before we say, okay, well, then this, based on those expenses with everybody except, this is what the number should be. So those are my points.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah, that's all. That was all really good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Sharon, I think it's down to you at this juncture. Do you have anything to chime in?
Well, just basically agree with everything that Nick just said. So definitely should, I think that listener support is the thing that should be, we should be using. That's, I thought, what we were doing, actually. And I do agree it should be defined, so we get very clear what is included in the number of listener support, so it's just, you know, the same across all the stations. And I really like the idea of, like, knowing what the P&O budget is. That would be extremely helpful, so then we could determine, you know, it's just a calculation to figure out what percentage of the total, you know, we would know the total listener support, I guess, and then we could figure out what the percentage is and relate that to the P&O budget. So those are my comments.
Okay. Yeah, I can come up with both sets of numbers with assistance from Anita. I have the listener support numbers for the last 3 years, so it would just be a matter of equating those to what the actual needs of the national office are, and then we could develop a formula from that that would equate those two things. So I'll get
James,
that. James, I'll get that prepared
when you're ready.
The next meeting. Yeah, go ahead, James.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you there.
No, it's okay. Not at all.
First, I wanted to say that I do recall, just to back what our Paul said, that I recall seeing the 8% number as far as the WBAI allotment. So I think he was correct about that. And in addition, I want to think about whether or not we can calculate some way, you know, WBAI has had an anomaly in October being off the air and having our our sustainer member BAI buddies knocked down by about half during the shutdown, and our listeners having been scattered somewhat and, you know, not coming back immediately. So our income is off, but I'm hoping that that's a short-term anomaly, and I'm just wondering how to factor that into whatever calculation we do.
Yeah, James, yeah. I appreciate that. Maybe what should be done is we could do a forward projection on BAI's revenues instead of using a passport thing to give a little bit of that situation. Go ahead,
Lyndon. For the stack. Doesn't
go
that
ahead,
benefit
Lyndon.
BAI in every way? They have lower revenue going in, being entered into the formula. They win every way.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you.
I think so, yes.
Well, this is James for the stack again, please.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I didn't mean it to imply that it was a victimhood thing, and we were trying to say that it cut one way, but it did occur dramatically, of course, in October, and then we were having a gradual recovery. So I just, you know, whether it hurts us or helps us, I'd like to just see how accounting for it in whatever ways we can come up with would affect the numbers. I'm not suggesting it would cut one way or the other. I just want to recognize it as a reality.
This is Anita. I was going to suggest maybe us providing some scenarios to Chris for discussion.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so obviously this is something that there's a lot of kind of issues in the fire here. I wasn't aware that it was done on listener support numbers, although in retrospect, that probably should have occurred to me, given that it's a stable number. And so that makes sense. We can circle back and hammer this out on the 28th. I presume, and Brian, and maybe get a little bit of an email exchange going in the meantime to address some of these concerns, so that we can focus our attention on a plausible solution on the last meeting before the new board is seated. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, and I'm still really worried about the past due amount that we owe.
Sorry, who was that?
Nancy Sorden joining the call.
Oh, hi, Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Thanks.
Sorry, I'm late.
Go ahead, Bill. It's okay.
Yeah,
Go ahead, Bill.
Really worried about the past due amounts due to our various vendors. Tamra was telling us back in, or at least she told the P&D back in August and September, and again in October, how that seemed to be increasing rather than decreasing because so much of the central services were not being used to pay what it was supposed to be paid for, but it was to cover shortfalls in payroll and health insurance. And so do we need to plan for this, or what should we do? Because I'm still really terrified we're going to lose some of our essential vendors, including Rogers, for example, that we need for the audits, and, of course, Netta, and engineering and insurance and all these other things. And maybe Anita can help us, because we haven't gotten an update since, I guess, around September on that. But are we doing any better on paying those vendors now? I guess what I'm thinking is, should we adjust central services somehow to make sure we can pay them, and plus the other debt that we have, not just
well,
the big debt.
I believe Anita actually offered scenarios for us, but we can have a more fulsome discussion on what the situation is currently in about 5 minutes here after we conclude this item, Bill. But I can think of a lot of good reasons to make adjustments on that basis, and for that reason, and once again, you know, debt repayment is also part of the game here, if we can possibly do it. And this leads into another larger discussion about how to do that, but in any case, if we're not actually keeping up with our current expenses, then something needs to be adjusted, obviously, and it'll have to fall to the individual stations to do that. Anita, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the call. I'm actually looking forward to working with all of you. And I'm very energetic. I've got a plan. The first one is I'd like to report that we all agree, and this is Tamara Ann Goff, which is another local CPA that works with us, and George Walters. First of all, we feel that we will be current with the financials by next week, no later than the end of the month. We also have already submitted to the audit firm the 2018 trial balance and all the have responded to all the questions. I think there's a few lingering things with KPFA Maria that still need to be answered, but they're minor. And we will start on 2019's audit also to be able to stay ahead of the game. We, by the next call that we have, we should be able to provide you a budget for the national office so you can see what the expenses are. As far as outstanding, I know that there is a lot of vendors that are outstanding. ADTA is one of them. I think we're probably in about a 120-day category right now for our fees. And I know Rogers is not quite as bad, but I think they are asking for payment now. What I'd like to do is tomorrow or Friday for sure is send an outstanding AP list to Chris just for him to be able to look at it, share with the group. If that is a desired effect to see where we're at and also how cash is trending. My understanding that $10,000 payment was made to NETA a few days ago. But that was actually on a August invoice. Any questions from that?
Linden to the stack.
We'll take a stack. We'll take a stack. Anyone else? Go ahead, Lyndon.
Anita, I would just like to thank you very much for getting us the accounts payable information and the aging of it also. That's been something I've been trying to get for quite some time with very little success. And I know Bill was just giving his views of how important it is to have that information. So I thank you very much, and I hope you said you're going to get it to Chris in a couple of days, and then he'll distribute it to us.
We can get it to you tomorrow. Sure.
Tomorrow. That's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Yes. Again, we'll work on a budget and, again, discuss it with Chris and others. Just to make sure we're incorporating all the ongoing operational expenses. That will not be a problem. And from there, probably we most likely need to critique, I would say, the fees. But what I'd like to do is maybe provide you with a couple scenarios. And, of course, totally up to you, your decision as to which way we go.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great, Anita. Yeah. Thank you. Are there any more questions?
Nancy.
We have plenty of time on this item. Go ahead, Nancy. Oh, yeah, sorry, Nancy. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Anita. Welcome.
Hello, Nancy. How are you? Thank you.
Good. I was wondering, have you been able to see the transactions on all of the bank accounts of all the stations? Get the information that you need?
No. The only way that we know what cash is by asking the business managers and essentially pulling that together. That is one of the things that I'd like to, quite frankly, talk with Chris at some point or whoever, because I think what we need is just online view. That is all. To be able to see how stations are tracking and be able to report what the overall cash is.
Not. I think there's a, you're saying there's a way to just view, have access to view the information without having authority to do any transactions. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We don't need a transaction. All we need is the ability to view. We obviously could reconcile the bank statement, but we have asked some of the managers to provide us that bank rec. Quite frankly, just see what's outstanding.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious.
I'm glad you're working on that.
Yeah. Thank you, Nancy. That was an excellent question. I'm kind of curious as to do individual stations have multiple accounts that make this more complicated, or is this a fairly simple procedure as far as you know, Anita?
I mean, as far as I know, I think they do have more than one account, some of them. But even with that, you know, all we, as you know, we work in public broadcasting. Some of our stations have five bank accounts, and we're able to view, you know, the balance. And all we do is just log in. Pretty simple process. And that's really all that we need, is to verify how the station is tracking in order to look at the overall cash in the bank. And all we're doing is really providing oversight for that.
Got it. Okay. I go ahead.
I guess I would like a follow-up question, maybe to the...
Go ahead. Go ahead. Follow-up. Go ahead.
Okay. Or to the now that, Anita, you are our CFO, at least the CFO should be able to see all this stuff for sure.
Correct. But I need the support of this committee or the board in order to make sure that that message gets delivered to the business managers.
Ah, good. Okay. We could work on that.
Okay.
All right. Is there anyone else for the stack? Okay. I'm getting a little punchy tonight. I had a question. I didn't jot it down. I thought I would be able to remember it. If someone else can step in here and ask Anita something, I might have time to remind myself what I was going to ask. But if there's no further questions,
let's
then
Bill.
Okay. All right. Let's go with Bill, and then I'll circle back to Nancy. Go ahead, Bill.
This is James also, please.
Okay.
Okay.
Great,
and this
James.
Is
Thank
more
you.
Of a cash flow issue, but do we know how we're going to be paying the interest on the big loan? And, of course, do we have any plan at all to pay the principal in the big loan?
To my knowledge, there's not a plan. But, obviously, that's one of the things that I would like to tackle.
Okay, so no plan even for paying the interest?
Right now, to my knowledge, the interest payment has been made. But
the current ones, you're saying?
Current, yes.
But it goes for a little over a year more.
Yes.
Yeah. So just to interject here, we did actually get an interest formula passed through the PND. So I need to forward that to you, Anita, and
okay.
and then you'll have something to work off of. And of course the individual versions of what those. What those numbers are. So anyway, I have that.
Okay.
That was on my list to send to you today, but I just got caught up in a whole bunch of other stuff.
Sure.
So I will get that to you.
This is Dick for the stack behind Nancy.
Okay. So James, you're next.
I wanted to say that I got knocked off the call there briefly just after Anita started, and I got back just after somebody had finished asking her a question. So I was just curious if she had prepared any written notes on her remarks. Of course, I'm not going to ask you to repeat them, but I'm not going to also ask you to make notes if you don't already have them. But if you do have any, I wonder if you could forward them, I guess, not just to me, but to everyone.
I can send them to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. The chair has my email. So, I don't know how you want to handle that. This is James.
Okay.
I can forward it to the group, James.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. And I did have one other thing I wanted to say, which I wanted to say before Anita started, but one of the previous speakers mentioned the lack of central services due to the necessity of making up for payroll arrearages. And I just want to remind him one more time, and I guess I'll have to keep reminding him every time he says that, that at least at WBAI, there are no arrearages as of October. We were caught up with our payroll by paying with the money that was made in the first 6 days of our fund drive. There are no payroll arrearages. We're caught up. So I hope we can stop hearing about that as a problem. I realize, let me just say, also I do realize that people have to scramble to cover it when we don't have it. But it's not like it's an ongoing accruing massive hole in our central services, income, you know, it's not something that's ongoing as an accruing problem. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Thanks, James. Nancy?
Oh, why don't you let Nick go since I already went?
Okay.
I'll go Nick?
After Nick. Okay, Nick.
Sure. So I would suggest regarding the comments that have been made tonight about a principal and potential future principal payments on the loan and interest payments, that at the next Finance Committee meeting that we have an agenda item around strategies that we could recommend to the PMB around the loan payments. And that would be supported by the members of the Finance Committee having full set of the loan documents prior to the meeting, so that if we need to, we could do it in a closed session. I don't know what the proper rules are, but in order for us to make some good recommendations around the loan payment, that I would think we would need to have that detailed information and have a good discussion amongst the members of some strategies around the loan payment, because we just don't have enough information to make a good recommendation.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah, that would be a really good item for the NFC to discuss. So I appreciate that.
Chris, can
Nancy?
I ask a question?
Oh, sure. Sure, go ahead, Anita.
I just wanted to make sure, so what he wants is, he needs the loan documents, is that correct, around to develop a strategy for the loan payment, correct?
Yes, that's what I was suggesting, Anita, the loan documents, the notes,
yes.
The loan agreement,
yes.
The security agreement, whatever collateral documents, appraisals, anything that was a part of that package, that's what I we'd be looking for, just to be able to completely understand all the dynamics.
Sure. We have it. We can provide that. Thank you.
Amen.
Okay.
Sharon,
Nancy?
Okay. Yes.
Sharon,
if Sharon hasn't gone yet, go ahead.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I just was going to say I did send an email to the NFC, which contained a link to the confidential documents that have been published by a certain person. So you can go to that link. I sent it to the NFC, and then you can find the loan documents.
Okay, Sharon. Thank you. Nancy, I think you can squeeze in now.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to ask you, Anita. I keep asking this question, and you say I think that we're making progress towards it. Is how are the stations coming along with starting to do good accounting practices?
As far as how are they doing?
Have there been some improvements in that? I mean, I was one of the tasks, I think, that we had, you know, the analysis of our what general accounting practices and what we need to do to get up to speed on that.
We have had instituted, obviously, when Tamara was involved, was for them to provide us documentation of reconciliations. As I mentioned, something to support their statement, bank statement, for us to be able to see how they were trending on cash. And also anything that, like check registers, if you will, for us to kind of, one of us to review. So to me, that was a good, practice because it allowed another set of eyes to be able to view, the transactions. We've not been very successful in getting that done necessarily because we don't get much cooperation, if you will. I'd like to institute the Wednesday calls that we had back when Maxie was involved, and like to go back so I could have all the business managers on the phone and, again, tell them again what we need in order for them and give them a little bit of time for them to submit the information. So I haven't given up on that, but we've not been totally successful on that. But I obviously I feel that it is doable. We're not asking for anything that is difficult for them. We have provided them with a scanner that they can scan the information. So we're not even asking. They could email it to us also, scan it and email it. But they don't have to mail it is what I'm was trying to indicate.
Yeah.
So So I will report back to you and hopefully on the next call.
Great. I'm glad you're making progress on that.
Thank you.
Okay. We still have 5 minutes left. Are there any further questions of Anita?
There's James with a question.
Go ahead, James.
Anita, do you have information on the individual stations at this time? Specifically, I'm thinking about WBAI, and I understand that Berthold was copying immediately to Tamara when he had a receipt or an invoice or, you know, a donation came in. All that information was going immediately over to you. Do you know if that was sufficient, and is that your understanding of what's happening?
Yeah, it's my understanding that they are current. You might have part of my report was that we have what we feel is everything to get the financials current as of December. And that would include, of course, WBAI. So to my knowledge, we have everything.
Wonderful.
We'll check
Thank
with
you very
Aaron
much.
And others, but I'm 99% sure we have everything.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I finally remembered the question I needed to ask you, Anita. I'll put you on next, Bill, before I forget again. So from talking to Tamara that I think it was at least three of the stations are connected to the central accounting system right now. And are making entries into that for their own individual stations. So there's no time lapse really between those entries and you receiving that information. Is that correct, or are there more than three stations, or is that just simply not correct?
Unfortunately, there's two stations. There's the D.C. and New York station, only that are on Mass 500, and the national office. That might have been the third in your mind. The rest are still processing on their own system. And
I see.
Obviously, one of the things that, you know, the desire of the group is to combine it under one accounting platform, because that's going to be more expedient for all of us.
Yes,
we'll obviously be able to turn around results. So I've talked to Grace. I've talked to Lydia. I'm hoping that somewhere down the road soon that we can make that happen.
I see. Okay. So is there an actual plan in place to do that at this point, or is this just something that's under discussion?
We have a plan. We had a written plan. I will dig it out and send it to you. But the written plan was that we would start out individually with a station. We would need their cooperation, because we actually bring in historical data for as many years as they have in their system. And essentially, we are tying the trial balance until everything is current, and then we're able to run financial reports to compare on both systems. Then we declare a go live date, if you will. So we start processing like accounts receivable or accounts payable en masse, and then terminate the other one, if you will. So there
got
is
it.
A plan.
I got it. Okay. Thank you. Bill?
Thank you.
Bill?
Oh, sorry, I was muted. Thank you. Tamara got us a income statement, a P&L statement that covered through, a preliminary one that covered through the end of September, the end of the FY19, a couple of months ago, I guess it was. But she cautioned us that there was a lot of information in it that was not, it wasn't complete or correct. There were some things were in the wrong line items. There were a lot of cells in some of the worksheets that were empty. Some of the figures were based on accruals. Based on cash flow rather than accruals. So I'm wondering, will you be able to update that and complete it, or will we get a December P&L that has all that the previous stuff corrected also anytime soon? Not sure how much work there is in getting that updated, because she was cautioning us not to read too much into that statement because of some of those things.
Correct. Well, partly, too, is that there was, I'm sure, some adjusting journal entries that need to be done, perhaps. But the plan right now is that we will have up to date through December for the group. So that's an income statement, current and as accurate as we know it, if you will. So I will look at that cash flow. I do actually remember it well. That she had shared with you. I'll see if we can update it also.
Okay, thank you.
But you're welcome.
Okay, we're out of time for this item. If there's a motion to extend, we'll extend it. Otherwise, we could wrap it up and move on to the next thing. Is there any interest in having further discussion at this time? All right, hearing none.
I'd just like to, could I make one comment?
Sure, go ahead.
The ICFO said she could use more cooperation, or she could thinks that there needs to be more cooperation, and I think we as the NFC should back her on that.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
I agree. Anita, I'm really thankful that you're ICFOing. I expressed that thanks in a closed session, which you were unable to hear. But I appreciate the work that you've done over the last year, kind of working in the background and with Tamara. And now that you're in the foreground, I appreciate you even more. So thank you for stepping up and doing this work. And I really look forward to working with you.
Thank you. I I really am excited about this opportunity, and as you can imagine, I have a pretty full plate, but, you know, Pacifica, really, I care about the organization. I feel that we can do really good work, and what I'm wanting is just to get buy-in from you to support what we're trying to do and to get it done, essentially.
Yeah, no, I think you can count on that, and in fact, not think, you can count on that. it's our duty in this committee to provide that support, and we will provide it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so the next item up is item 8 on the agenda, which is just a discussion of the P&Ls. I didn't anticipate that we'd cover as much ground with that with Anita as we have. I'm not sure how much I can add other than this, and that is that I've been trying to reconcile the internal books of WBAI to the, for lack of a better way of putting it, the external books or the internal books of the Pacifica National Office. And I've had some success. I've managed to kind of get my head around at least half of the differences between those books, but there's still a significant amount of work that I need to do, and I'm going to need to enlist Anita's help to figure it out, and also some station help as well, I'm sure. The basic problem is that how the national office is categorizing some of these expenses is different than how Berthold has chosen to do so. I'm not saying that either one of them is right or wrong. It's just a matter of understanding how those differences, which accounting method for these various categories makes sense. Some of the stuff in administration is probably better put in programming. Some of the stuff that's in programming is probably better put in administration. There's also some extraordinary items, especially for the last 3 years because of the tower situation and the settlement and the legal costs. And this is just up to 9:30, by the way. So since then, there's additional items that have happened. But I'm just having a great deal of difficulty figuring out how some of this stuff actually pencils out and how NEDA categorize some of the stuff that came off of these books, and there appear to be quite a few missing items in the case of the QuickBooks report, and I'm just trying to figure out where all those numbers are coming from and where they need to be. I would say that right now it's kind of down to there's most of what I am seeing the difference in right now is accrual stuff. And so it's stuff that it's debts that have been incurred to things like, you know, central services and unmade loan payments, which incidentally all the stations are guilty of at this juncture because nobody's made any loan payments yet. So it's a systemic issue. And so all items need to be added to the report just to make every individual station reflect what's actually going on in the organization as a whole. So I'm hoping to get that done over the next couple of weeks, but it sounds like I'll be getting more from Anita, and that could be extremely helpful to me. But the questions will remain because I'm still quite uncertain about how something has moved from one set of books to the other. So I look forward to reconciling these final remaining differences prior to our next meeting and having something more fulsome to discuss at that time, but I am making progress. So I'm sure that some of you have some questions, and I'd be glad to entertain them. Anyone?
Arpal?
Go ahead, Arpal.
Have you called up Berthold Reimers and spoken to him about some of your questions about his...
No, that was actually my next step, Arpal. I was planning on doing that tomorrow. I've just been trying to... I want to be able to ask the right questions, if you know what I'm saying. And up until this point, it's like, okay, now I know where my questions lie. And no, I haven't done that yet, but I'd like to. I don't believe I actually have his direct contact information. So if you could forward that to me, I would be very happy to have that conversation with him at this point. Anyone else?
Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Was it just LBBI that was needed work on the expense side of that September income statement?
Or the other stations
pretty much complete?
I would say accrual
rather than cash accounting. Sorry, go ahead.
It's okay. I would say that the other stations are closer to matching the figures that Tamara gave us. So the biggest discrepancies are at WBA, and like I say, a lot of it has to do with accounting decisions that were made. I can give you one example, and just to make it clear what I'm talking about, the sort of thing that I'm talking about here. In the case of WBAI, if you look at the preliminary P&L, and incidentally, I'll just follow it up with a justification for that, because I think there's a very logical justification. But the biggest discrepancy that I'm seeing that's really obvious is that all of the interest payments for the organization for the ESRT loan are attributed to WBAI. Now, this was just an arbitrary decision that was made, but it's creating an extraordinary expense, which is actually already covered through the loan proceeds. And so I can see the justification for leaving it on WBAI's books, but obviously it has to move from those books to the rest of the organization if people are going to be making payments to that. So there'll have to be an adjustment in future years if we want to get this stuff looking as if it's a debt that's borne by all the individual units, or we should move the whole thing off to the Pacifica National Office, for example, and have them accrue all the interest and the payments as well and take care of it on that set of books. But right now it rests all on WBAI, and it's creating this very large discrepancy between what I would describe as sort of the overall reality of the situation and what's actually happening. The reason I think it's important to pull some of this stuff off is that it really is kind of an extraordinary item, right? I mean, if individual stations are going to be held accountable for these interest payments, yet BAI is bearing the entire burden, then it creates an extraordinary item which is resting on the books of WBAI that everybody else is going to bear in the future. So it's important to keep that in mind for budgeting purposes, because obviously WBAI isn't going to be responsible for 100% of the interest payments in the future, nor have they been responsible for 100% of the interest payments in the past. So that's just one example that I've come across that's, like I say, fairly obvious. And I'm sure I'll find others, but go ahead.
Yeah, and you're right about that. I guess I was more concerned for any of the stations that if we have cash out instead of accrued expenses, then it's really hard to see how much of a deficit a station is having or profit. It's impossible to do it because you can't, clearly if we only see what they're paying but not what the real expenses are, the total expenses, then we don't know, how much they're behind. And, I worry about that for all the stations. I've heard people trying to say some of the other stations are running big deficits also, but we really don't know. And so we need to find out if we need to make sure the income statement is really showing all the accrued expenses. And I realize we use cash for revenue, but at least expenses should be accrued so that we know what, and then we have a separate cash flow statement, then that shows what's really paid.
So, right. Or a reconciliation statement. Yeah. Yeah. Or a reconciliation statement. And what I'm choosing to do right now as a means of reconciling this is just pulling these items off that are in fact extraordinary as extraordinary items and making an adjustment at the bottom of the books. How Netta or Anita or the NFC chooses to reconcile this stuff in the future is, of course, entirely up to them. But it's helping clarify actual needs of the individual stations are and how those needs are being met and what the true operating and running costs are associated with these individual units and, you know, just getting a clearer picture, a clearer handle on that. And like I say, you know, if I can drive the discrepancy down to, say, 5% of revenues, it's still significant, but it would be way closer than what I'm looking at right now, which is more like 15%. So I'd be comfortable getting it into this single digit now. It's been far worse than that over the last couple of months, but it's getting closer. So I hope to have something reasonable to talk about or to show within a couple of weeks here.
Nancy with a question.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I don't have an accounting background, but I'm just wondering how all this looks on the books. So we had a debt. We had the judgment against us, and I'm wondering how that was booked. And we paid that off with the loan, and I'm wondering how the loan looked, how the loan was booked. I'm assuming it was booked as income to somewhere. And then we have the payback of the loan and the interest, which are different. And then the actual paying of those back by the set-aside revenue. I'm wondering where the set-aside revenue is booked. Is that booked as income to the national office? Was the loan booked as income to the national office? Or, you know, I'm just wondering how all these things are booked.
Yeah, and Anita could actually answer this question, but I'll give my best stab at it as well. I think most of these things are balance sheet items. In other words, you know, both the debt and the revenue associated with the loan would be shown on the balance sheet. And so you're not actually going to see that as income or expense. The interest is an expense, but the cash flows associated with that transaction would be off the P&L. So you wouldn't actually log it as revenue or expense. You just see it on the balance sheet. So the balance sheet would be the document that would tie the cash flow statement, which we received a preliminary of and caused great confusion, in my opinion. It was probably about 6 months ago. And the P&L, those two documents are tied together through the balance sheet. And I got a preliminary balance sheet from Tamara, but I couldn't really make sense of it just because there were so many partial there was so much partial and fragmented information on it, and it would be really nice to get that as well.
So was the debt for the rent and the judgment and everything, was that booked as an expense?
Yes, but it would have been, I think the debt, a lot of the debt was already accrued in the form of unpaid rent. I better leave this one up to Anita,
okay.
But I believe that it had accrued already, most of it, or
yes.
The portion of the judgment that was not related to the outstanding obligations of Pacifica. So that extraordinary item would have been reported as an extraordinary expense from my point of view. Whose books it's being carried on right now, I believe it's being carried on BAI's books, but on the balance sheet side, not on the profit and loss side.
Correct.
But as far as the debt is concerned.
Mm.
Does that
so
answer
there,
right,
so the
Anita?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is correct. But I was going to comment, the auditors also, I think we posed the adjustment, the journal entry, and then the auditors reviewed it and approved it. So to my knowledge, what I can do is pull out the balance sheet as soon as we get a current one, and then we can discuss it, hopefully for the next call. But I do know
that would
it
be
is
great.
Under the balance sheet for WBAI.
Thank you. Yeah, awesome. That would be great. I would love to see an update, up to date, like a 9:30 balance sheet would be extremely valuable to me right now.
Okay.
What's a 9:30 balance sheet?
Oh, the end of the reporting year, because I have all the other 9:30 information.
Oh,
counter,
I see.
So that would be really, really helpful.
Yes.
September 30th. Sorry.
Yeah.
End
I got it.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else?
And so I'm sorry. So the debt from the rent and the judgment are on the balance sheet, and the loan itself is also on the balance sheet, so it kind of that's how it balances out.
Correct. Exactly. The debt obligation would have been paid for by the loan, and so a basic one thing would have replaced the other. Now the amount of difference between those two would have been the cost of the judgment itself. In other words, if there were legal expenses that were associated with that, that would have gone as an extraordinary loss. But I believe since what Anita just said now was that it all rests on the books of WBAI, it would have been an extraordinary loss to WBAI. And so when I've gone through these P&L statements, I've made those extraordinary costs because, like I say, you know, it's not like something like this is going to happen to BAI every single year. So it doesn't make any sense to treat it as a continuing operating cost. So I tried to do that whenever I knew that something was like that. Anyway.
So then the loan on the balance sheet is on WBAI's balance sheet to balance
Correct.
That out. Is that right? Okay.
Correct. Exactly. Because the original debt obligation was also on WBAI's balance sheet. So it had to go somewhere, and it makes the most sense to put it there.
Bill for the stack again.
I see.
After other people.
Okay. I think you can go, Bill.
Okay, and thanks again, Anita, and also, of course, thank Tamara for all the work on the P&L and whoever else worked on it. If that's almost ready now for December, I'm wondering if maybe the cash flow report could be and projections could be updated. Tamara shared cash flow projections that we just mentioned, or Chris mentioned a few months ago, and unfortunately there were some people not on this committee, but others in Pacifica who were trying to use that to try to determine what the P&L statement looked like for Pacifica for the year.
Right.
Of course, that you can't do it. You can't do that.
No.
And they were coming up with all kinds of wacky things. But the reason I'm getting at this is projecting cash flow ahead. We normally the cash flow worksheet is part of the budget for each station, for each unit. And so we've gotten so far behind because we've been behind on P&Ls, and we base the budget on the past P&Ls. But we need to project cash for the rest of this fiscal year, especially. Tamara was giving us some really dire projections a few months ago, saying that we may end up having $1 million deficit for Pacific as a whole in FY 2020. And I don't know if that's still correct or not, but at any rate, we need to figure out things like these loan payments, interest payments at least, and make sure we're covering all the other expenses everywhere and at least covering vendors. So if the P&L is about ready and you have the information for Rogers, I was wondering if the cash flow statements could also be updated soon so that we have realistic projections for the rest of FY 2020.
I will look into it and just jot it down. We'll work on it. I agree with you. I think that's something that we should be providing to you. And again, as soon as we get the income statements and the balance sheets for all the units, I like to take a stab at looking at cash flows out for the remaining of the fiscal year.
Great, thank you.
Okay. So if you give me till the end of the month, we should get you something.
Okay, thanks. I think we've run out of time for this item. We need to do a little housekeeping here just for a second. The next NFC meeting is, I believe, the 28th. And I hope that everybody can make that meeting. I think it will be an eventful one just because a lot of stuff is kind of happening all at once in terms of financial information that's available to us. And so I'm looking forward to it. Ironing out how to do the formula for the central services and looking at, I think another good item would be the one that Lyndon mentioned, which would be how to make principal payments for the organization on the outstanding debt. That would be a great item for us to address. January 28th, 5:30 Eastern would be the next meeting. 8:30, I keep doing that, don't I, R. Paul? I apologize. 8:30 Eastern. I believe that James wanted to pick up an item of new business here at the end of this meeting. We have 12 minutes left. Can you remind me of what that was, James? We've covered a lot tonight.
All right, Chris. Yeah, thank you. I was just wondering, we have this invitation here or announcement from Brian David about a staff meeting at KPFA, and it says, this was where I promoted you improperly. It says there will be presentations from Chris Corey, who is the Pacifica National Board Director and Chair of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. I promoted you to finance, to treasurer of KPFA by mistake. I apologize again for that. So, anyway, I was asking, it says that the meeting, we will also record the meeting. So I was hoping that we could get at least your remarks or perhaps the whole meeting, for the committee, whereas this, they're going to be discussing, to ensure the survival of the network and find out where the network stands financially, et cetera. I think this could be beneficial for everybody.
Yeah, James, is that there was a meeting coming up on, I think it was February 6th or something like that. Is that the meeting that they're referring to, or is it something different than that?
January 31st, it says. Friday, January 31st,
okay.
From 8 to 10
yeah,
p.m.
Yeah, I'm off by a week. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was brought up over the last week here. I would be happy to do that. I'd be happy to convey
Wonderful.
That information to the committee. Okay.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
Not a problem. Is there any other new business that people would like to bring up at this time? We have a few minutes left. Anything more you would like to say, Ms. Sims?
Other than I will try very, very hard to be on the call on the 28th. NETA has an annual conference. It starts Saturday before. I don't have the day in front of me, but I know I'll be in D.C. So, again, I may be able to join you for maybe an hour to presentation.
That would be great. That would be wonderful.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Thank you for having me also.
Sure. Our pleasure. Really. It's nice to have a CFO back on the call. It's been a while, so I appreciate it very much. Are there any other comments?
Thank you for being here, and thank Tamara for all her hard work when she was here.
Absolutely. Thank you. I will do so.
Yeah, she did a great job. Yeah. All right, everyone.
Well, don't forget all those poor workers that were working under her doing the tons of work.
That's right. That's right. The tireless work. All right.
I will tell her. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you very much.
Happy New Year.
Yes. Motion to adjourn.
Happy New Year.
Any objections to the motion to adjourn? All right. Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you so much, everyone. And once again, Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good night, everybody.